Praise the Lord Jesus. Father, we worship you. How great thou art, O Lord. Thou that inhabit eternity. Yet you have time for your children and you inhabit our places also. Lord, we thank you so much this morning. Oh, how wonderful you are before the foundation of the world. You already have your church, you know, a house they will set at the end of the age. And you already plan. We have two or three are gathered together. I'll be right there. That there be million people, you know, doesn't make a difference to the Lord, only to man to that make a difference. But we come with our own heart, two or three, on the way to Emmaus, the day of the resurrection. You preach for I don't know how many hours to only two people, you know, in Acts 13, only five people. But we say there were certain prophets, you know, at Antioch, church at Antioch, teachers and prophets, only five of them. As they ministered to the Lord and they fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Paul and Silas for the Barnabas rather, for the work which I have called them to do. That is how the gospel went from five people praising God and worshiping God, how the gospel goes to the whole of Asia and Europe. Only five people who gave their heart to the Lord. Even if it's written not by number, God look at the heart. So we know you are here this morning. How do we know? God's word says so. And so we give you all praise and glory. The entrance of your word always gives life, Lord. So as we read this morning, let us be enlightened, Lord. And whatever we read this morning, let us be mixed with faith in our heart that it may profit us in the days to come. Grant it, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus. You know, we notice in the scriptures that God has many names, seven of which are what we call redemptive and covenant names. And these names are reserved for the specific purpose of God revealing to every man in Adam's race, this our race, his redemptive attitude towards them. So this morning, by the grace of God, I want to talk about the redemptive names of God. That is titled, The Redemptive Names of God. Well, the Lord gave us the Great Commission in Mark chapter 16, the 15th verse. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, you know, the Lord saying that to preach the gospel to every creature, what does it really mean? It means that we tell the good news of redemption. That's what it means. Tell the good news of redemption to everyone. You know, his seven redemptive names reveal what our redemption includes. So yeah, there are seven of them that are redemptive. It has many names now, but there are seven of them which are the redemptive names. And they tell us what our redemption in Christ includes. These seven redemptive names are never used in the scriptures except in its dealings with man. Not six names, no. Not even eight or nine, but seven. Why seven? Why the number seven? Is spiritual perfection. That's what it means. Number seven means spiritual perfection. And the number seven occurs so many times in the Bible and in so many ways in the scripture that we can write a whole book on just the occurrence of the number seven in scripture. You know, we can write a whole volume. It's one of the most used numbers in the whole scripture. I mean, for example, the book of Revelation, you know, let's see, many, many ways in the book of Revelation. There are seven churches. Revelation 1 to 3. You have seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials, seven judgments, seven thunders, seven new things, and so on. So seven being the number of spiritual perfection, there are seven redemptive names of God then, because God is a perfect God. Number seven is a perfect number. You know that what it means in spiritual symbology, perfection. No wonder God chose seven redemptive names because he's a perfect Savior. That's why he did that, I believe. His redemption covers the whole scope of human need. No matter what any man we ever need in this world, Christ's redemption covers it all. The blessings revealed by each of these names are all in Christ's atonement for the human race. The Lord Jesus carried all those things in his redemption. Why don't we just quickly go through those seven redemptive names this morning by the grace of God? The first one, Jehovah Shalom, in no particular order really. I just go through the seven of them in no particular order. Jehovah Shalom. Now, when I say come in the Bible, you have all heard about Gideon before. Where the Midianites begin to oppress the children of Israel. You know, they have judges in those days. When they disobey God, God will allow their enemies to oppress them. So what is the day of Gideon? They have seen that so far the Midianites will come and when their plantation, whatever their crop, as soon as their crop are beginning to ripe, they will come and just steal them away. Anyway, so there was this man called Gideon who God wanted to use to deliver Israel from the hand of the Midianites. So I want to bring out where the Jehovah Shalom come from. Judges 6:22. I read from there. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, someone appeared to him. Well, many times the angel will appear in form of man, right? Happened in the Bible many times and so on. We are even told, do not be eager to entertain strangers, for in doing so, some had entertained angels so that we are. When they appear in human form, you know the difference, right? Anyway, so they can. So in this case too, but later on, Gideon found out it was the angel of the Lord, really. And Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. We are talking about the redemptive name called Jehovah Shalom, right? And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and call it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet an offering of the Abiezrites, the Bible says. So, Jehovah Shalom means peace be unto thee. All these things are all from the scripture, not just made up. I always like to use scripture to explain scripture. You know, that's where you don't make mistakes. That's why you don't go into false doctrines, you know. When people come with their own ideas, the Bible said that no scripture is of private interpretation at all. You see, let the Bible interpret itself. That's how you don't go into error or false doctrine. So we see right here, so in verse 23 it says, peace be unto thee. And then the Bible says, he built an altar there and called it Jehovah Shalom. And then so Jehovah Shalom means peace be unto thee. Or the Lord is our peace. And there are many scriptures, texts show that the Lord Jesus being our peace is in the atonement. So peace is in the atonement. So like I can say all these names, the Lord carry all of them. The Lord Jesus Christ carry all of them in his redemption. For example, talking about peace, Isaiah 53 verse 5. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. Now watch this now. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. So all these redemptive names point to Jesus Christ, our Lord, what he will do in the redemption. And with his stripes we are healed, the Bible says. Even more in Isaiah 9, chapter 6, where the Holy Ghost begins to introduce how the Messiah will come, how God will take on human flesh and dwell among us to redeem us. Even that prophecy of him coming, Isaiah 9:6, that piece is mentioned. Let me read Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And so far, if you don't read further, you think it's just an ordinary son, right? Ordinary child. No. Not ordinary, as you read further. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. How can they miss it? The Jew miss him, right? They didn't read the Torah right? Mighty God, The everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Right there, he showed the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's the Prince of Peace, Jehovah Shalom, right? The Prince of Peace is right there. The Lord Jesus Christ, you know, in his redemption, you know, is the Prince of Peace. Another one, Isaiah 26:3. That we keep him in perfect peace. There you go. We don't want to do it. The Lord will keep him in perfect peace. When you put your mind on him, whose mind is stayed on thee? Because he trusted in thee. This is your benefit now. We are going through the redemptive name. There are seven of them that the Lord chose. And for your benefit and my benefit, redemption, isn't that the redeemer of the Lord says so, right? And the Bible says, we are the redeemer of the Lord. You say so. What I'm reading now about this redemptive name is for your benefit, my benefit as children of the Lord. So trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Oh, you say you're talking about the Old Testament alone? No. The Bible is one, the same author, the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:14, talking about Jesus. For he is our peace. See? Even the Lord himself began to speak in John 14:27. Peace I live with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto thee. See? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So, is it? No. Jehovah Shalom. No. The Lord our peace. You know, and so on. Romans 16:20, talking about so many scriptures about how the Lord in the redemption gave us peace. And the God of peace, there you go, shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Philippians 4:6 is what many people know. Be careful for nothing, meaning be anxious for nothing. Or in this age of anxiety, you know what a tranquilizer, Holy Ghost tranquilizer, right? This particular verse. Be anxious for nothing, another translation says. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Another one concerning peace, that is our redemption. Romans 15:33. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Trust Jehovah Shalom. The Lord, our peace, all in the redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read one more about him being our peace. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You see, you have to allow that peace to work for you, right? He gave it to you already. But you and I must allow it to work for us. And let the peace of God, God doesn't force anything on anybody. We are all free moral agents, you know. As that's how he created us. We are not caught in the wheel to just be thrown anywhere. No. Also to serve him with gladness at our own will. Under satanic religion, it's either you follow their false god like Islam, or they want to kill you. No, not Christianity. Christianity is free moral agency, you know. Anyway, so we see. So we can keep on going on about peace, Jehovah Shalom. Now, another one. Jehovah Raha, R-A-H-H, Jehovah Raha, you all know Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So those words, the Lord is my shepherd, is a translation from the Hebrew compound word called Jehovah Raha. That is the Greek word for that, you know, Jehovah Raha, R-A-H-H. So, and we can read many scriptures that the Lord Jesus is our shepherd, really, you know. Let me see Isaiah 40 verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Verse 11 says, he shall feed his flock, see, his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Psalm 80 verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadeth Joseph like a flock. Thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth. When you praise him, that's what he does. He shines forth upon you with his glory and so forth, that, you know. So that's why it's good to praise the Lord. He shine forth. He will do it as you praise him daily. Now the Lord Jesus Christ became our shepherd by giving his life for the sheep. And this privilege, of course, is in the atonement, being our shepherd. Now, David wrote about him in Psalm 23, where I began from, which means Jehovah Raha. And when he came about in John 10, verse 11, he now tells the world, I am that good shepherd that David wrote about. So John 10, 11, I am the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus said. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Other scriptures to tell us, you know, that all these things are in the redemption that the Lord Jesus brought to us. 1 Peter 2:25. For we were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. That's who the Lord Jesus is, right? The good shepherd. So don't always forget. You can see Jesus in every book in that Bible. If you know how to read it properly, you know. Here's another one. 1 Peter 5:4. On him be the good shepherd, right? Then we move to the next one. And when the chief shepherd, you see that? Jesus our Lord, right? When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So Jehovah Raha, that is the Lord, is our shepherd. No? Let's move on to the next thing. There are seven of them, right? Jehovah Jireh. Many people know about this one, right? Jehovah Jireh. Let's see the root of that. You all know about Father Abraham, how, you know, at 75, haven't got no children of any type. And he was a man of God. He was not to be a man of God, right? He was even called a friend of God. And he was a father of faith, really, because, he, you know, he believed God and so forth. Went through so many mockery. He said, you're a man of God. How come you don't have children? All kind of mockery and so forth. Anyway, eventually God promised him a child, right? And by the name of Isaac. Now, that is at 75, right? That promise lingered on until he was 99. Going to be fulfilled. Oh, can you see what patience can do? When God has given his word, time is of no consequence as far as God is concerned. Praise the Lord. If he has spoken, as he said, and we not do it, so Abraham was given a promise. It took him another 20-something years to be fulfilled when he was 99. So anyway, now when Isaac was born, another great test. God wanted him to sacrifice that Isaac to him. The son he has waited for almost 25 years. God now says, go sacrifice him. So let's go to Genesis 22, verse 7. And of course, Abraham obeyed God. He took little Isaac with him. Get on wood and everything, going to the Mount Moriah, where God is going to show him to offer Isaac and so forth. So where I'm reading now is when he got to the Mount of Sacrifice, it's where I'm reading now. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. So, I mean, Isaac didn't know that he was the one to be sacrificed anyway. Now the thing is this. So the Lord, I mean, so the Lord will provide, meaning, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. It's an interpretation from the Hebrew compound word Jehovah Jireh. That's what it means. You know, the Lord will provide himself, a lamb for a burnt offering. It's an interpretation, you know, from the compound word, Hebrew compound word Jehovah Jireh. That's what it means. God will provide. Christ himself was the offering provided on Calvary. Remember that? In Hebrew, all are pointing to the redemptive work of Christ. You can name anything in the Bible like that. They are all, even the covenant names of Jehovah God, they are all pointing to Christ. In Hebrews 10:10, we are told, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 14 says, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. In John 1:29, the next day, John, meaning the John the Baptist, sees Jesus coming unto him and says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You know, that is a, you know. So John the Baptist was the one that introduced the Christ, right? As I already prophesied, he himself can, you know, John the Baptist found himself in the Old Testament. And he came and said, I am the voice crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. That is what Isaiah prophet said, and John the Baptist found himself there, you know. So one day, after the baptism and so forth, you know, how he was baptized in the river Jordan, and the Lord himself came. Oh, John said, I need to be baptized of you. Why come down to me? The Lord said, suffer it to be so. For all, it is written to fulfill all righteousness. So he baptized him and so forth. Some days after that one, so he was just standing there with the disciples and two of them. And John pointed to Christ, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And two of them, when he had John the Baptist, they followed Jesus in that chapter. I don't write it here, but in that chapter. And as they were following him, one of them is Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And then the Lord looked at them, what seeketh thou? Rabbi, where livest thou? Just come see. Around 4 o'clock, according to the scripture in that chapter of John, chapter 1. And they stayed with the Lord for the rest of the day. When they left, Andrew, Peter's brother, he now went to his brother called Simon. Simon, we have found the Messiah. Be interpreted the Christ. This is all in John chapter 1 that I'm reading from 29 that I'm just paraphrasing right now. We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he took Simon to the Lord. And as Simon approached the Lord said, thou art Simon the son of Jonah. Thy name shall not be Simon, shall be Cephas, which be interpreted is a stone. The other day I preached a sermon here concerning the inner circle, right? And even the Andrew, Peter's brother, who brought Simon, didn't get as close as to Christ, didn't get into the three inner circle, right? Anyway, so what you see there? The question here is, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So the Jehovah Jireh, I think was pointing to Christ. No, and some of that, you know, we take away the sin of the world by the offering of himself. Let's move on now to the next covenant name. There are seven of them, right? Jehovah Nissi. I have to give you a background in Exodus 17. What does that mean? Exodus 17 verse 8. Then came Amalek. As they were journeying to the promised land, right? They encountered all kinds of warfare, right? Jericho was the first out, frontage as they crossed Jordan. So, Jericho was the first one anyway. Anyway, as they marched on, so it got to a place where they, in Exodus 17, verse 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow, I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. So there was a war going on. Joshua, the conqueror of Canaan, we always call him, was waging the war. He was doing the physical part of things. Moses took all the spiritual. He was praying upon the mountain and so on. Anyway, so and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel will prevail. They will be winning. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Because we are told, we are getting to where, we are. So verse 12 says, But Moses' arms were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur set up his arms, the one on the one side of Moses, and the other on the other other side, and his arms were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of his sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven. Now look at verse 15, where I'm actually going. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So Jehovah Nissi. What does that mean? Jehovah Nissi means the Lord our banner. That's what it means. The Lord our banner. Or if we like, the Lord our victor. Moses in this scenario recognized God as his banner or flag, if you want. The other Sunday people were asking a question here, were singing a song. What is the meaning of a banner? I don't know whether two or three Sundays ago, I don't know. Anyway, according to the Homer Bible Dictionary, the banner means it's a sign carried to give a group of people a rallying point, a point to rally around. That was a flag. What a banner means. Now, if as a Christian, you are wondering if you will survive the battle you are now fighting. We are, Bible says, fight the good fight of faith, right? We are in a battle. Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. It gets tough many times. In this battle we are fighting, this pilgrimage, sometimes you will get into a battle that you are fighting and you are wondering, am I going to survive this battle I'm in right now? And my answer to you is this. Rest assured that you will, on condition, if you see the Lord Jesus Christ as your banner. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's right. That's how you need to win any battle. See? He's the captain of the host. When the darkness of adversity makes you wonder if God, your banner, is still there, sometimes you think like that, humanly speaking, you go through so much turmoil and so on. You have been wondering if God is still here. Yeah, he's there. Just let us assure again that he is. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Praise the Lord. Now, let me read some scripture to remember that the Lord is our banner. Many of them, probably like four or five. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. No matter what trouble you got into, we don't look for trouble as God's children. But Job says, any person born of a woman, are always in trouble. Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, right? But the Lord always deliver them from them all when we trust him. Joshua 1:9, has not I commanded thee? Be strong, no matter what trouble you are in. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You can take that with you to any situation. This is Joshua being told as Moses was passing off the scene to take the commander of the armies of Israel, to take the leadership, and so on. God's encouraging. We all need encouragement one time or the other in our life, right? You come here to the word of God. It's not written for Joshua alone. All scripture, Bible says, all the promises of God in Christ Jesus, they are yea and they are amen to the glory of God. So it doesn't have to be to Joshua alone. So you and I too. Now, in John 16:33, the Lord make it plain to us. I will forget this scripture many times. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But hear what he says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. No matter what you are going to do, come to the word of God. It's there with you right there. He said, I already warned you that when you have any tribulation in this world, but be of good cheer, because he has overcome the world. Now, Psalm 60 verse 4, talking of, Jehovah Nissi and so on, the Lord our victor, the Lord our banner. And in Psalm 60 verse 4, thou hast given a banner, see that, to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. See that. Verse 5 says, that thy beloved may be delivered, no matter what you get into. Say with a right hand, and hear me, he says. Psalm 3 verse 3. Just give him many scriptures to you to remember that the Lord is your banner. You see Moses? Amalek attacked Israel, right? They are always getting attacked, right? Like Hamas attacked them, right? That's not a new thing. It's in Bible times, right? It has been so. But God has always been with Israel, you know? So Amalek attacked them. That's why we got into this name, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our victory, the Lord, our banner, and so on, and the one. Anyway, Psalm 33, but thou, O Lord, as a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. David said, Psalm 18 verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the armor of my salvation and my high tower. It's your banner. That's how you win any battle, you know, and then you can win every battle. And let me read one more about the Lord being our victor, being our banner, Jehovah Nissi, our Jehovah Nissi. Psalm 20 verse 5. We will rejoice in the salvation and in the name of our God. We will set up our banner, our flag, the name of Jesus. Right? You wave it, before the enemy and so on. Set up our banner. The Lord will fulfill all your petition when you do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. When you wait at the devil's eye, the name of the Lord Jesus. Where the name of the Lord Jesus is to us, what the rod was to Moses. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our honor is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 16, it's told you a lot of things you can do with his name. In my name, shall they cast out devils? In my name, they will speak in new tongues. All believers now are qualified. In my name, they can even take out Satan. Not to tempt the Lord, but if you accidentally do it, but to prove it to us in Acts, about 27 chapter and so forth, they crash landed in a place called Melita, which is Malta today, but in winter, they were gathering sea to get warm. A serpent, a viper, beat Paul. And the natives of that place believed that when you die, that's what will happen for people. Paul just shook it to the fire and so forth. And nothing happened to him. And they were all afraid. Begin to give their life to Jesus. And begin to pray for all of them who are sick in that island. We were there the other day. You see that is today. God's word is called St. Paul's Day. We went there. We traveled there. Right there in Malta and so on. You can see the sign everywhere. Paul didn't send the Lord by go and get his accent. Or going about his business to get warm in a cold when he was beaten. Jesus said he shall take up serpents, right? We drink deadly things. You know how to death. All in the name of Jesus. What a day we are living in. A day where everything is poison. The air is poison. The water is poison. The food is poison, but Jesus gave us an antidote to all these things. He drink deadly things. How to appropriate it though? No, and so before it will work for you. We don't go and drink cyanide and say God will protect me. No. So, but all of these things. Anyway, they are all there. Ah, the name of our Lord Jesus. Let's move on now. And our Lord Jesus Christ becomes Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, or victor. How did they do it? By spoiling principalities and powers on the cross. That is in Colossians 2:15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That is your victory as a Christian. That is my victory. The victory that Jesus wrought was not for himself. It was for me and you who are believers. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He defeated Satan for you and me. You know? So all he did in the atonement was for you and me. That's how you are, know you are victorious. You can't face Satan by yourself. No. You claim the victory the Lord wrought, like in this verse. And that's your victory. That is, they are afraid of you. Apart from the name of the law and this kind of thing, Satan is not afraid of you. But when he knows that you know your right, that the Christ beat is your victory, Bible says in James 4:7, receive the devil and he will flee away from you, right? He will run. Today, many of we do the other way down there. People are afraid of the devil and so on. Should it be so? Bible says receive the devil and he will flee from you. Anyway, so let's move on quickly here. Song of Solomon, talking of God our banner, right? Song of Solomon verse 2:4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Even then, talking about Revelation 19:9, and he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true saints of God. So, Solomon writing and so on, but no, prophetically and so forth, his banner over me was love. Brought me to a banqueting house. We will have a banquet at the end of this battle, I mean this pilgrimage, if you endure to the end, if I endure to the end, right? There will be a rapture, and while they are taking the mark of the beast on earth, we'll be rendered forth in the heavens in the banquet or the marriage supper of the Lamb. It was it all. Praise the Lord. Let's go. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Being the Lord our banner, right? Our victor. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the last scripture on this, Christ being our banner, our victor, is in 2 Corinthians 2:14. Again, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. That is the plan of God for you to win every battle. That is the plan of redemption that our Lord Jesus Christ brought to us. Let's move to the next name. It's called Jehovah Tsidkenu. That is Tsidkenu. Jehovah Tsidkenu. It means the Lord our righteousness. That Hebrew compound word means the Lord our righteousness. And let's get some scripture behind that one. And that is how you get free, knowing that the Lord is your righteousness. Jeremiah 23:5. Behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth, he says. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord, our righteousness. That is where that Hebrew word, the Hebrew word for that, Jehovah, he came. See? Our Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins and became Jehovah, Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. He opened the way for every sinner to receive the gift of righteousness. I wait like 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him, meaning Christ, are ye in Christ, Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So the Bible says, remember, as you are coming to the Lord, Isaiah says, our righteousness, our hope, is like filthy rags, right? So we have to take on the righteousness, which is Christ, Jesus our Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17, talking about Jehovah Shekem, the Lord Jesus Christ, our righteousness. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, it's our Jehovah Shekem, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord our righteousness. Romans 1:1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith, the Lord our righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ our Jehovah, his kingdom. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's move to the next thing. There are seven of them. I'm almost done now. I'm almost like done five right now. I'm going to go to the sixth one. Jehovah Rapha. That's familiar to many people, right? Back to Exodus again. Days of their wilderness journey to the promised land. Exodus 15:26. And said, the Lord said, through Moses, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and we do that which is right in his sight, and we give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Actually, another translation says, I will, God is not the author of disease, I will not put, what another way of saying, I will not permit, rather, you know, in another translation, God is not the author of disease. So he will not permit it. Anyway, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Those words, I am the Lord that healeth thee, is a translation of the compound Hebrew word Jehovah Rapha. See? I am the Lord that healeth thee. That is it. From the Hebrew, Jehovah Rapha. So we see that there. Now, Exodus 23:25. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Now, this also is the atonement. In Matthew 8:17, he himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. See, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. So all these, you know, God's covenant names are pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, every one of them. So let's get to the next part, the last one here. Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah. And the last one. Ezekiel 40, let's get the Bible behind that one, Jehovah Shammah. Ezekiel 48:29. This is the land which ye shall divide by lot unto the tribes of Israel for inheritance. And these are their portions, said the Lord God. You know that to divide the land and so forth. And these are the goings out of the city. On the north, he's describing how the land is going to be divided. Out of the city on the north, side, 4,500 measures, units if you want. And the gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel. Three gates northward, one gate of Reuben, one gate of Judah, and then one of Levi, he says. Dividing the land and so on. There are 12 gates there. So three on each side. And at the east side, 4,503 gates. 500 units. and three gates, and one gate of Joseph, and one gate of Benjamin, and one gate of Dan. And at the south side, imagine a square, right? There are three gates on each side of that square, you know. And at the south side, 4,500 measures. And there are three gates on that side too. One gate of Simeon, one gate of Issachar, and one gate of Zebulun. Then at the west side, imagine a square, how the land is a square and so forth, you know. West side, 4,500, you know, units with their three gates. One gate of Gad, one gate of Asher, and one gate of Naphtali. Now I've read all those things to come to what I'm talking about as, you know, Jehovah Shammah, verse 35. It was round about 18,000 measures if you get 4,500 on each side of the square. God is a mathematician, isn't he? Add them together, it's going to be 18,000, right? It was round about 18,000 measures. And the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. That those words, the Lord is there, is the translation from the Hebrew compound word Jehovah Shammah. And the Lord is there. The Lord is present. So how does it relate to our redemption in Christ? And it turns out that in the book of Revelation, there are similarities between the city in Ezekiel's vision and the great city, the holy Jerusalem, shown to Apostle John in the spirit in the closing chapter of the book of Revelation. He's talking about the New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is the eternal home of the bride of Jesus Christ, the church. Let me go to Revelation 21. I'm going to close this out from there. How you see this redemption, then there are seven of them. How they point to Christ's redemption. 21 of Revelation verse 10. Listen closely and you will see how it's almost like what we read for Ezekiel, you know, that I just read for Ezekiel. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and show me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. You know, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, right? That's what it means. Having the glory of God, this new Jerusalem. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And I had a wall, look at the description, just like Ezekiel saw how the land, you know, it's a replica of, what he saw the land officially divided. And it had a great wall, you know, a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, like I read to you in Ezekiel, you know, and this is in New Jerusalem, the eternal city or home of the bride, coming down from heaven, right? And at the gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. Can you see? The similarities include the square, like I said, the 12 gates associated with the names of the children of Israel, and the presence of God. For of this holy Jerusalem, we read in verse 22, and I saw no temple there, you know, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb at the temple of it, 33 verse 8, and the city had no need of sun, neither of moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Talking of Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, right? And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor to it. See? So this great city, we are looking for the eternal home of the bride of Jesus Christ. This great city, the New Jerusalem, the believer's eternal home, commands our honest attention. The city is indeed unique. And the most notable metropolitans of today, you have many cities today that people think they are just, that people admire and so on, such as Venice, maybe Paris, Lisbon, and so on, and that, I'm telling you, By comparison to the New Jerusalem, these are just miserable imitations compared to that which is coming from heaven, the eternal home, our eternal home, because we are God's children. Christ is the king of this great celestial habitation, a city extending in three dimensions, 12,000, that's the Revelation 21:16, 12,000 furlongs, or 1,500 miles each way, and according to the scripture and so on, that, you know. That means, according to the measure it has, it means it will occupy more than one half of the United States, continental United States. That's how big it will be, this one city. The site gives us indication of the number of its citizens. Literally hundreds of millions of the redeemed might find place in his spacious quarters. Talking about that, the Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, for Ezekiel, extending it, to the day we are living in, the future of the bride when the Lord comes. This city is the place the Lord Jesus told us in, when he was here. He said he was going to come back, in John chapter 14. Yeah, in my father's house are many mansions, right? If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. That is what the Lord is preparing for us. That's New Jerusalem. And he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That is what he's doing right now. It is just such a place as we will expect the divine architect to design and build. For over 2,000 years now, he has been busy, the Lord has been busy, right? And this magnificent creation that we lighten the world with his glory is in no doubt nearing completion, if it is not already finished. You know what? Abraham looked up to it, even in his days. He said, really? Yeah, Hebrews 11:8. Abraham being a prophet, right? Looking for that city. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now look at this one. For he looked for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. I go to prepare a place for you. Show me another place which maker and builder is God. So he was looking for the New Jerusalem. I know he'll be there. Now, quickly finishing that now. So, this description of his surpassingly great description of this celestial design or origin that the Bible is going to give to his bride. There are no mortal hands employed in its construction. No. It is not even heaven itself, not really, for the Bible says it descended from heaven, right? It is the future home and eternal home of the bride. So, we have to understand, therefore, that Jehovah Shammah, I spent time on this one because it has to do with futuristic things. The blessed hope. That's why I take some time about the Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is here. It's not merely a name, but also a description of the future reality for the believers of Christ. So this morning, those that complete the seven covenants or redemptive name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Each of them revealing God's relationship toward all of us, in the Lord Jesus Christ. These seven names all belong abundantly to the Lord Jesus Christ. As our Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ operates with mighty power in each and every one of those names or offices, if you want, in our salvation and redemption. He is the Lord who never leaves us and never fails us. It is under each of these seven titles that the Lord Jesus Christ said that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever in Hebrews 13:8. The Lord says to all who come to him for any of these seven blessings, him that cometh to me, I will in no way cast out. In John 6:37, that scripture here. He that cometh unto me, I will in no once cast out. All of that I have read to you this morning in the atonement and redemption in this name is for you and me today. This is the good news that God wants preached to every creature, so that every creature may have the privilege of enjoying the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. What a redemption. What a great redeemer. What a wonderful redeemer. You know, the Bible says, let the redeemer of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that he has redeemed me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all the benefits.
Who forgiveth?
All thy iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemed thy life from destruction. Amen? This is our redeemer. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always a joyful thing to spend time in the Word of God. Not to know what belongs unto us has redeemed all the Lord. He is our Jehovah, Shalom, our peace, our Jehovah Nissi, our banner, our protector, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Jehovah Tsekinu, our righteousness. Oh, how wonderful our Lord. So we are complete in you. Bible says, who is the head of all principality and power. As we go this morning, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, let the Holy Spirit bring this thing to our remembrance and begin to enjoy them day by day, the fullness of the redemption that you have brought for us in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for blessing us in your word this morning. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.